You're listening to Vatican Radio. Commemorations for the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation in 2017 must be marked by a spirit of gratitude, of penitence and of hope. That was the message of Cardinal Kurt Koch, head of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity, to a Catholic Lutheran International Seminar taking place this week at the Pontifical University of St. Anselm here in Rome. The three-day conference, which concluded on Friday, was entitled Signs of Forgiveness, Paths of Conversion, Practice of Penance, a reform that challenges all. Organised in partnership with the Evangelical Church in Germany, the meeting included an ecumenical liturgy at Rome's Lutheran Church and Vespers with the Benedictine community of St. Anselm on the Aventine Hill. Sister Susan Wood from Marquette University in Milwaukee gave the concluding lecture entitled From Conflict to Communion. As well as teaching and writing about theology and ecumenism, she's a member of both the US and the International Lutheran Catholic Dialogues. She talked to me about the way Catholics and Lutherans can jointly commemorate this 500th anniversary, not by telling a different history, but by telling their shared history differently.
We can remember it as a story of church division, or we can tell it as a story of needed reform in the church that became very polemical at the time. And so, as any story, you can tell it from different perspectives. And so the retelling is joint from a perspective of 50 years of dialogue.
As you say, though, a lot of Catholics still remember this story exactly as one of division, whereas Lutherans will remember it as a renewing of the gospel, a returning to the essence of the gospel. How far have we got, do you think, in shifting that perspective to see it in a joint way as both of those things together?
Well, it depends, frankly, on the ecumenical formation, because for some Catholics, ecumenism is still lowest common denominator, Catholicism. It's like, let's find the most simple thing we can say together. I am very opposed to this approach to ecumenism because I think, as my illustration on justification showed, that you go to something higher for unity, not something lower. And so it was the Trinitarian framework of justification that made the difference.
And yet these, for many ordinary people in the pews, are very complex theological ideas, aren't they? How can we perhaps get the message of from conflict to communion, as the document is called, how can we get this perhaps to people who don't have the kind of theological training?
Friendship. I think it goes back to basic friendships. We have to become friends with people who are different from ourselves. And that's the beginning of ecumenical relationships.
How far do you see this happening in your own context?
In the United States, you know, we're religiously very diverse, and so I think friendships can happen rather easily. But I also think there's a danger today that people wanting to latch onto an ecclesial identity, a church identity, there's this temptation to see one's identity against someone else.
Do you think this commemoration, this 500th anniversary, is very significant in terms of trying to show a different vision?
Yes, very definitely. That you can be who you are without opposing someone else. That's the message.
You talk also about the importance of repentance. This conference has been about signs of forgiveness, paths of conversion, and practice of penance. And you talk very significantly about the decision. It was a decision of conscience that Luther made to stay true to the gospel rather than a sin of division. Could you explain that a bit further?
Well, I think he had, as I said, there were kernels of his thought. I mean, it was primacy of the gospel, primacy of Christ, translating the scriptures into German so that people could read the scriptures. You know, at that time in the Catholic Church, people were afraid to give lay people the scriptures because they would misinterpret them. Or he wanted to restore the cup to the faithful. So many of the things that Luther wanted to do at the time of the Reformation, we actually did with the Second Vatican Council.
So in theory, since the Second Vatican Council, the divisions that are there, the basis for division, has almost been eradicated?
No, there's always new divisions, unfortunately, because as we solve, I mean, the Joint Declaration on Justification was huge. Although I tell Catholics, we don't say the word justification very often. Most Catholics don't even know what it is. So that hasn't been our rallying cry, if you will, in the same way as it has for Lutherans. So we solved that problem, and Catholics didn't even know it was a problem, you know, in the pew. But new problems come up. And so the one thing we can't do is stop talking to one another.
What do you see as the role of dialogue commissions? As you say, you're on the American one and on the international one as well. What sort of role do they play alongside this patient work of friendship, if you like?
Well, I'm a theologian, so I take doctrine rather seriously. And because there were doctrinal causes of division initially, I think we have to heal division at its roots, which were doctrinal at the time. So that's why we have this important work.
And yet it goes importantly alongside the grassroots work.
Absolutely. So, you know, we do mission together. You know, we have to realize what we share in common, and it's all about relationship.
My thanks to Sister Susan Wood there from Marquette University in Milwaukee, a member of both the U.S. and the International Lutheran Catholic Dialogues.